I'm like, what? Oh, I'm ready today, now. This place is just, we're just passing through. Anyway, we're in Matthew chapter 25, and we'll go ahead and pray, and we'll get into lesson this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and Father, we pray that we would just be attentive to them this morning, and all of the teachings that are taught in this church today, and the preachings, Lord, and we're thankful that you've given them to us, and we just praise you for it, and we pray now, Lord, that you would just be with those that are hurting this morning, be with those that are sick and not able to make it, and we pray for those that are all through the world, Lord, and we pray these things, that you would just comfort them this morning, and we pray these things for Christ's sake, amen. Okay, well, we should get through this to Matthew 25 today. But last week we started to go through the similarities of the parables of the talents and the parables of the pounds found in Luke 19:12 and here in Matthew chapter 25. And we'll go ahead and read those verses this morning and go through them again here. I just briefly gave them to you yesterday or last week. Where are we at here? The parable of the talents, chapter 25, verse 14. We'll read the parable of the talents first, and we'll go to Luke 19, and we'll start reading in verse 12 there. The Bible says, verse 14 of Matthew, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And so I hope we can see right here, I mean, this well done. This is an amazing thing. No matter if the Lord gives you 5 or gives you 2, if you're faithful with the things that the Lord has given you, he's going to say, well done. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't matter how much it doesn't matter how much that he gave you, whether he gave you more or less. If you're faithful with what he gave you, well done. Think about that for a second. Some people, all they have is a couple pages of scripture. Think about it. Some people only have 1 verse. In this whole world, that's all they can get a hold of is 1 verse. Faithful in the least. If they're faithful in that 1 little verse, the Lord's going to say, well done. But in this context here, we're dealing with a Jew in the tribulation and Gentiles in the tribulation. And last week we kind of went through basically what that is. I believe it's the truth that the Lord gives these people. He gives every man the truth. And what you do with that truth, hey, if the Lord gives you the truth of the law, are you going to count on that truth of the law to get you into the kingdom of heaven? Are you going to trade that for Jesus Christ? Right? Think about it. You're trading what is supposed to bring us to Christ. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And if you trade that for Jesus, you not only have the law, but you have the one that fulfilled the law. Amen. You know? So, and that's basically where I'm getting at with these verses here, but we'll keep reading. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. He knew. He knew what he was supposed to do, folks. He knew he was supposed to increase what the Lord gave him. He admitted it. His Lord reaps where he had not sown. He's asking his servants to do that. He's gathering where he has not strawed. He asked his servants to do that. This man knew that he was supposed to increase, and he didn't do it. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strong. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Okay? He should have increased. He should have found a way to increase. And it was his responsibility to do that, to do so. The Bible says, verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant in outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 19. Starting verse 11. And the Bible says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Doesn't that sound familiar? Sounds like the Jews, right? Yeah. Hey, we have no king but Caesar. Right? That's what they said. They didn't want Jesus reigning over them. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Okay? They traded in the talents parable, and they're trading here. But then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Now he gave 10 servants pounds, right? But he's only going to reference 3. And just like he references 3 in the talents, he references 3 people in the pounds, okay? And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in little, thou have thou authority over 10 cities. Verse 17. Verse 18. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And so, and he said likewise to him, be thou also ruler over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here's thy pound, which I have laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up thou, that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds, for I saith unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. And look at what he does. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Okay. Do we see the similarities here? I'm going to go through some of them. You're probably going to see more. But in both accounts, you have a man who has servants. And in both accounts, the servants are given something from the man who travels into a far country. In both accounts, a man travels into a far country, okay? In both accounts, you have some servants increasing what the man gave them and some not increasing what the man over the servants gave them. In both accounts, those that had more when the man came back from a far country were given more. Were given more. In both accounts, those who had not increased what the man gave them were stripped of what they had. And what they had was given to them that had the most. Okay? In both accounts. When the man came back, they were given. They were the people that had the most were given what those that didn't do anything with the what they had, they were given that man's whatever it was. And in the account in Matthew 25, we are given the detail that the servant that did nothing with what the man gave him was an unprofitable servant. Right? In Luke, we're not told that the servant that did nothing with what the man gave him was an unprofitable servant. But let me ask you, was the servant in Luke that did nothing with what the man gave him an unprofitable servant? But before you answer that, let's look at some more similarities in both accounts. Okay? The servant that did nothing with what the man gave him in Luke is called wicked. The servant in Matthew that did nothing with what the man gave him is called wicked. In both accounts. In both accounts, there is no record for the wicked receiving anything of any value, but instead being stripped of what he had started with. Now look at what the Bible says about the wicked in Psalms 101:4. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. And we all know about the scriptures that when a guy comes to the Lord, hey, have I not done all these things in thy name and cast out devils in thy name? And the Lord says, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Okay? When Jesus comes back, folks, in both accounts, he's not going to know a wicked person. Okay? And so by that evidence, I have come to the conclusion that in both accounts, the servant that did nothing with what the man gave them, both of them are unprofitable servants. And in Matthew, we're told what the outcome of an unprofitable servant is. Outer darkness. Weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. Now there's more similarities in both accounts here. You have, for everyone that hath shall be given, but for him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. In both accounts, the servant that did nothing with what the man gave him knew what was expected of him. And in both accounts, the servant that knew that it was his duty to increase, they knew. All right? And that's found in verse 21 in Luke 19 and verse 24 in Matthew 25. And because these servants did nothing with what they started with, the servants will not get anything, folks, in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. They will not get anything. They won't even be able to enter. Okay? They won't even be able to enter. They get their portion with unbelievers. And they're going to have a greater punishment because they knew. And that's found in Luke 12. Okay? We went through that last week. He knew his Lord's will. Every man we went through last week starts out with truth from the Lord Jesus. Some with more than others. Okay? And some with exactly the same. And it's every man's responsibility, folks, to increase in the truth of God by what he first gave you. That there is a God, he first gave you, that there is a God, Romans 1, and that God created everything. And the evidence is there. And he's given man that light. And Romans 2. That's found in Romans 2. And what's this truth that you need to increase? That you've sinned against God. And you have to trade with him the truth of the law written in your conscience for Jesus Christ. You have to trade that. Or you'll end up, when Jesus comes back, with the law in your heart. That's it. If you don't trade it, you'll end up with that's the only thing you have, and that's not enough, folks. And so that truth is about the truth that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And the law is supposed to bring you to Christ, the one who saves sinners. And if it doesn't, it's because you put it in a napkin or because you buried it in the ground. Okay? We don't want to bury the truth that God gives us, folks, because what we do with God's truth will determine what God does with you. Okay? And same with the people in the tribulation. What they do with the truth that God gives them, God's going to do with them. And so I hope everybody sees this truth here that Jesus is teaching and doctrinally to whom it applies. Okay? It applies to everybody. Oh, go ahead. Okay. Yeah.
The Jew can't apply that to the church because for my grace and sake, faith, and not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Right.
I really believe that these things we're talking about are works, which is going to be evident during the tribulation period.
Okay.
It's not evident for the church at all. We're saying by grace, you can't work your way to heaven.
Right.
You can't do anything to make God happy.
Right. I agree. Well, what I'm saying is that in the church age, every man receives the truth of God at the beginning when he starts out his life, meaning consciously. Okay? Right. I understand that. This is a parable, though. He's likening an earthly thing to something that he's going to teach later. And so I'm not saying that you have to work your way to heaven. I'm saying that. Right, I understand that. Well, this doctrinally is talking to the Jew and the Gentile in the tribulation.
Christ's bride.
Okay.
She doesn't have to work her way to heaven.
And I'm saying that.
People that are going to be living during the tribulation period that are going to enter into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
They are going to have to prove themselves to the Lord to get into that kingdom.
Okay.
We don't have to do that.
Right. You're absolutely right. And I'm saying that, what I'm saying is the talents that the Lord's given them, He's given every man truth. I'm not saying that the talents are works. I'm not saying that the pounds are works. I'm saying that the talents are truth. And in the tribulation, a man with the truth of God, the truth that he knows God, because God showed him the creation, and that he's obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know God, you know you're a sinner. God has shown you the commandments. He's written a law in every man's heart, whether now or in a tribulation. He's shown somebody the truth. And if a man doesn't increase in that truth, take that truth and say, okay, I'm on my way to hell. I need to believe in this truth to enter into the kingdom. The truth of the gospel, the grace of our Lord and Savior. 2 Thessalonians, he does not get in. I'm not teaching that a man has to work their way into heaven now or into tribulation. Doesn't happen. Even though it looks like it does. Works come after, folks, in both accounts. And in the tribulation, we're going to see that if you don't love the Lord, it's going to be evident by your works. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be evident by your works. Today, we don't have all the problems that you're going to have in the tribulation. We have it easy. They're going to have it hard. So what they're going to do is going to be based upon what they believe, and what they believe is going to have to be in the Word of God. Because if they don't have the Word of God in them and they don't believe in the Word of God, they aren't going to have any works. Because in both ages, works come from believing the Word of God and God working through you. He's working through you. You're not doing anything. They're right. We are. They're not. Right. Well, there's some people that are sealed, but we don't know. They're sealed with a mark. But I'm not saying that they're born again in the tribulation. But those that are going to see, well, I understand that. A Christian is never going to see weeping and wailing. Can I finish? Let me finish here. Okay, so doctrinally, this applies to the Jew and the Gentile in the tribulation, what Jesus is teaching here, okay? And I'm not here to argue. I'm just here to teach the Bible, and then if you got any questions, we'll try to address them. But folks, you have to realize there will be no inheritance in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God for a wicked person. Nobody in the church age is going to ever be called wicked. Okay, nobody in this age will ever be called wicked. Okay, but there is nobody in the church age that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and believes the gospel that can be called wicked. He's a son of God. And he's recognized as such, okay. In the millennium or in the tribulation, what Jesus is teaching here: there's two types of people. There's people that are going to enter into the kingdom, and there's people that aren't going to enter in the kingdom when he returns. Okay, that's what he's teaching. Go with me, if you would, to Malachi. Malachi. By no means am I teaching work salvation here, folks. I'm not. The salvation of the soul is never by works. That's what I'm teaching. Never by works. Because the works of the law has never been completely fulfilled by any man except for Jesus. Okay? So, therefore, no man can ever say, my righteousness is in the law. Because no man has ever fulfilled the whole law but Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can say, that's my righteousness. I fulfilled it. And that's why everybody has to trust in Jesus Christ. And I don't... Okay, so anyway. Malachi 3, verse 18. When Jesus is coming back, we'll start in verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and that him that serveth him not. Okay? Those that don't increase in the word of God, they're not serving God. Those that do, they did the will of their father. Okay? And we're going to see that. But the unrighteous, they don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ, because they do not get to even get in there, folks. 1 Corinthians. We're talking about an unrighteous person. 1 Corinthians 6:9. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Folks, to get into the kingdom of God, we're going to see it's an inheritance. It's an inheritance. To get into the kingdom of God, that is an inheritance. And if you don't believe me, look in Matthew 25. The kingdom of heaven is an inheritance. I think it's here. Yeah. Then, verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them at his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The kingdom itself is an inheritance, folks. Yes, there may be things, other things that are given to somebody in the kingdom of heaven, but getting in is an inheritance. Just getting in his inheritance. And 1 Corinthians says, an unrighteous person shall not inherit the kingdom. Okay? He doesn't even get to get in. Ephesians 5. Verse 5. "For this ye know," or you should know, Bible says, "that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Folks, any inheritance means he doesn't even get to get in, because the kingdom is an inheritance in itself. I hope we see that. Okay. The unrighteous doesn't have any inheritance in the kingdom of God or Christ, because they don't get in. Now, there are differences in these two parables, of course. However, there appears to be more similarities than there are differences, folks. By comparing the two parables, although there are some differences, the two parables appear to teach the same thing, and that is, there is no inheritance in the kingdom of heaven or God for a wicked or unrighteous person when Jesus returns, but only those that did the will of their Lord and they knew what it was. And folks, whether you're in this age or in the tribulation, the law is revealed to every one of us, and the law is there as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I don't care if it's in this age or in the age to come. It's there to bring you to Christ. Because nobody can do the law. Nobody can fulfill the law by themselves. You have to trust in somebody that had done it already. Okay? Verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. The Bible says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Jesus just gave two parables about what and who will get to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And now he's going to plainly tell his disciples who will get to come into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, this is what we call the judgment of the nations. However, folks, nations are not being judged here. Okay? People that make up the nations are being judged. Individuals make up nations. And individuals are going to be judged. He's gathering the nations and all the individuals that are inside those nations. And he's going to separate the individuals inside the nations. Sheep on one side, on the right side, goats on the left, okay? Jesus isn't going to cast into hell a whole nation. All right? He's going to cast individuals into hell that didn't meet certain criteria. And so Jesus isn't teaching in the parables previous that he's going to cast nations into hell. He's teaching that individuals that don't increase in what the Lord gave them. And I'm saying that what he gives them is truth. And he gives every man some truth when he starts off in life. Okay? And what that man does with that truth will determine what God does with that man. And the disciples, we believe, help thou our unbelief. Lord, increase our faith. Right? Increase. Nowhere in the Bible do I ever read where you have to increase works to get to heaven. I don't read it. But I know one thing. If you don't have the gospel, the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all you got the law is written in your hearts, and you don't believe the grace of our Lord Jesus, the gospel, you're not getting in the kingdom of heaven in this age. And if you don't believe it in a tribulation, you're not going to get to heaven there either. That's what I'm teaching, not works. So I hope everybody understands that. Verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now notice, there are two groups of people here, represented by sheep and goats. We saw in the parables, there are two groups of people in the parables that we just read. You've got a good servant and a wicked servant in the parable of the talents. You've got, in the parable of the 10 virgins, you've got a wise virgin and you've got a foolish virgin. Okay? Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now from the foundation of the world, God has intended, folks, for all men to inherit the kingdom of heaven that he has prepared. However, we know that not all men are going to inherit it, as we saw and as we will see. We saw it in the parables, and we're going to see it in the actual, what Jesus has been trying to teach these disciples. Notice that the kingdom of heaven is an inheritance on its own. We just went through that. Just getting into the kingdom is an inheritance. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches right there. It's an inheritance. The kingdom is an inheritance. Verse 35, for I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Now, folks, it's important. As we read these next verses, we really, really have to think about other scriptures. Or we can teach that if you're a good to a Jew, then you're going to get into the millennium. If you don't think. The Lord gave all of us minds and brains to remember scriptures. He gave us brains to think about things. He gave us brains to meditate. He gave us a heart to believe. And we need to do that, folks. We just can't just read these verses and discard every other scripture out there that teaches something against these verses. We can't do it. We have to line things up. Now, as a mechanic, what I do, this is what I do. I take broken things apart. I find out what's broken. I put them back together. That's what I do. That's my job. Okay? Now, let me ask you a couple questions. What if during the tribulation a person helps a Jew out, but he takes the mark of the beast? Before or after he helps the Jew? What happens? What do we teach here? Do we teach that Jew's going to get, or that person going to get into the millennium? We can't teach that. Do you really think Jesus is going to let a person in the kingdom of God that took the mark of the beast, but he helped a Jew? Okay. Again, what if a person doesn't know God, doesn't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as specified in 2 Thessalonians 1, and yet he feeds, clothes, and helps that Jew and visits him in prison? Do you really think that Jesus is going to put aside the scripture laid out in 2 Thessalonians 1 and let that person into the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven? I don't think so, folks. We can read one chapter of or one passage of scripture and interpret it any way we want. But we have to think about all these other scriptures that are there. To a person that doesn't know all the scriptures about the Lord's second coming, they might read these verses, the rest of these verses of Matthew and 25, and interpret them to say that anybody that helps a Jew in the tribulation is going to get into the millennium. And in order for a person to interpret that, do you realize how many verses of scripture they have to discard to teach that? A lot. Important verses. And so, like I said, for us with brains to think, and we need to do that. And we need to take time to think. We need to purchase understanding. We need to purchase wisdom. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, right? We need to think and meditate and study and remember and ask and believe from the heart. And then maybe the Lord will give us light about the difficult passages in Scripture. If we don't do that, we're not going to get the light about the difficult passages. Okay? Now think about this. If a man truly loves the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind, and with all his strength. Will that man help those in need when he sees them? And we're talking tribulation, folks. When all hell is breaking loose on this earth. Hell is being released upon this earth. Wars, famines, death. And you're going to tell me that somebody that's not right with God is going to be able to do this? If a man is right with his God, if a man's right with the Lord, it's Ten Commandments. Everything is leading up to being right with your fellow man, but you got to be right with God first. He's going to be right with his fellow man, folks. Now, let me ask you this. Can you, just looking at somebody, tell if they're a Jew? Just by looking at them. No, I can't. And I don't believe anybody in the tribulation is going to be able to either. You think during a world war that the Jew and the Jews are being killed, that the Jew is going to go around, hey, I'm a Jew. You need to help me. No, I don't think so, folks. And I don't think he's going to be able to do that. The Jew's not going to go around bragging. And so a person is going to have to be right with God during times of war, during times of famine, during times of disease and pestilence and everything else bad that's released on this earth. And the Word of God that's in them is going to say, you need to help that man. The mark is going to be visible. Guy doesn't have a mark. You've got to help that man. And we'll stop there and we'll move on. If you got any questions, come to me afterwards. I hope there's no confusion. I am not teaching work salvation here. All right. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we pray that we would just believe them. And if we don't know them, Lord, we need to go study more. And if there's something that's said that's wrong, then I pray that you would show it to me, and I'll get it right. You know I will. I've got a heart that'll believe what you want me to believe. And I pray that we would all have the same heart, the heart of God, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.